Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The last three verses of the assigned scripture reading, verses 8 through 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, are so prominent in Christian theology that one feels compelled to preach on them. At the same time, though, the question arises as to how one can preach on them, since we are so familiar with this passage from Paul, and since these verses have been the basis for many sermons which we've already heard. Perhaps the solution is to focus on the last verse, verse 10, which might not be quite as well known as the previous two verses, or have been used quite as often as a text or part of a text for preaching. In verse 10, we read once more that we are God's workmanship. We are His work. An analogy could be that God is the poet and we are His work of art. We will consider three aspects of this blessed gospel reality. First, that we are God's workmanship means that God made or created us. He made each one of us in our mother's womb. There He fashioned and formed us and gave to us our individual talents and abilities. However, God created us in another way, in a spiritual way. God took us, who by nature were His enemies, spiritually dead and on the road to hell, and brought about an awesome transformation. He produced something that was entirely different. God came to us in our baptism and worked this wonderful change. When we were baptized, God brought us into existence as His spiritual workmanship. He did so in connection with Christ Jesus, who, with His substitutionary life, His self-sacrificial death, and with His resurrection from the dead, made possible such creative activity by God. In our baptism, God converted us. He brought us to faith in Jesus, in connection with whom we have the forgiveness of sins and salvation. God made us into those who were and are spiritually alive, His dear children and heirs of heaven. In our conversion, in this transformative and productive activity of God, He created in each of us the new person, which is our regenerate, born-again spirit. This new person is holy and righteous and in spiritual union with Christ. Now, another aspect of our being God's workmanship is that He made us or created us, as our text says, for good works. The Greek preposition translated for is epi, with dative following. This preposition indicating goal or purpose. One of the original reasons why God made Adam and Eve was that they worship and serve Him. In His work of salvation, God restores us to that function. Paul writes in Titus that Jesus Christ gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. We notice, of course, the order. First, we are saved, not due to any efforts on our own, but only by God's grace through faith in Christ, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Then, once we have been brought to faith, because we have been saved, we bear fruit for the Lord. It is not that we serve in order to be saved, but rather that we have been saved in order that we might serve. Good works are not the cause, but the result of salvation. As the Augsburg Confession states, the Holy Spirit is received through faith, hearts are renewed and given new affections, and then they are able to bring forth good works. Ambrose says, faith is the mother of a good will and doing what is right. According to our new person, our regenerate spirit, and in union with Christ, we serve the Lord here on earth and then in heaven, and we will serve the Lord in the new creation. Obviously, an unbeliever cannot do a good work in God's sight, no matter how much the wicked world might protest that assertion. For how can what is spiritually dead, what is apart from Christ and the Holy Spirit, bear fruit for the Lord? Therefore, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, namely God. In the case of believers, Christ's blood covers any imperfections in our service to the Lord. We see the importance of good works, and dare we even say their necessity, not for salvation, but as the external proof or evidence of the internal faith in Christ through which we are saved. We are familiar with the analogy of fire. Where there is fire, there is always heat, there is always light. So where there is faith, there are automatically the good works which flow from faith, which are the result of what God made us to be when He created our spiritual life. An absence of works indicates the absence of the fire of faith, a truth stressed by James. These good works, which we do as God's workmanship, Paul writes, God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Before the foundation of the world, God not only chose us for salvation, but also planned for each one of us to do specific good works. While we are here on earth, God will see to it that we carry out what He, in eternity, decided we should accomplish during our earthly sojourn. Your being here in chapel this morning is not some cosmic coincidence, but what God before creation willed for you to do. The same holds true for the good works you have already accomplished during your lifetime, and for the fruit you will bear for the Lord, generally as a believer, and specifically in the roles which God will have you fill as a pastor or deaconess or some other kind of worker, or as a father or a mother, or as a neighbor or as a friend, and in various different capacities. Although this might sound trite or like a Hallmark sentiment, it nevertheless is true. God has a unique plan for each one of us. When we have finished the works that God designed for us to do here on earth, He will take us home to Himself in heaven. The third aspect of our being God's workmanship, briefly considered, is that all praise and honor and glory go to God for what we carry out in service to Him as His workmanship. This has been an underlying theme all along and now is being merely explicitly stated. Paul stresses this by starting verse 10 with the Greek autou. And the beginning of the verse could be translated literally, for of Him we are a workmanship. God made us. He produced us so that we are His fruitful work of art. In particular, God created in us the new person. God did this again in Christ Jesus, in connection with Jesus, who made possible our status as God's children who love him and obey him. Further, Jesus comes to us through his gospel, word, and supper, and preserves us as God's workmanship. Through those same means, Christ nourishes and strengthens our new person so that we, as branches joined to a vine, are indeed productive. Finally, since God prepared in advance for us to do good works, we will do them. God's will be accomplished. Our lives thus have meaning and purpose. Each of us plays an important part in God's grand scheme for this world and for the world to come. The good news of our text is that you are God's magnificent workmanship, accomplishing what he intended. You are his beautiful and productive work of art because of Jesus, our Savior. To God be the glory. Amen.